Psalm chapter number 84. The Bible says in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. As a pastor, oftentimes we deal with people in hurting situations and times of loss. I think of even Jana this past week and received a call on Monday that her mother had a massive stroke. And just knowing that people in our church hurt. And Jana's mom, Jana Graff's mom, went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, at times you find myself just sitting and thinking about people that hurt. I think of the Bishop family and just what they go through constantly traveling and dealing with a son that has cancer and then finding out that their daughter has cancer as well. And the reality is there's many in our church that go through trials, that go through hurt, that go through pain. At times I find myself, I don't know if you've ever done this, you're driving and you get to a place and you don't remember how you got there, you just kind of pulled up there. Anyone ever do that besides me? It's not like we're getting forgetful. You just get things on your mind. And just subconsciously, you know where you're going. Your car goes to the same place all the time. And you pull up there and all you remember, you're just thinking and praying in your heart for people maybe that are hurting, people that are going through grief or going through pain. And at times, there's many. Just like a church, any church, our church is not exempt from that. There's a whole prayer list of people that they're hurting. The value of a Wednesday night prayer meeting is just taking those lists and taking those people that are hurting, taking those needs before the Lord and praying and seeking God's face and asking him to do something in the life of people that you care for and you love. And God allows us to go through challenges and go through these seasons in our life. And some seasons we enjoy. Some seasons we don't enjoy so much. You know, I learned when I was moving here and back in September, we were excited. I think I was, and the kids were a little bit more than my wife was. We were excited for winter. We hadn't really seen winter in the last few years. And so, believe it or not, we wanted to see snow and we wanted to be cold, and we thought it would be cute to put on gloves and hats. And I know you think that's strange, but the reality is when you don't have certain seasons, you miss them. And even though we had a pretty mild winter this year, you know what I got noticing, not maybe more than a month ago, you know what I noticed? It was a gray sky, and it's been a gray sky for a long time. And it affects people, doesn't it? It affects people when you just kind of see a gray sky. And I was one that couldn't wait for winter to come, and now I'm one that can't wait for the sun to shine. I enjoyed a mild winter, and I am going to enjoy, I pray, a good spring and praying for a good summer. We like seasons. You know, my mind is drawn to this chapter in this verse here in Psalm 84. The Bible says, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth this pool. Who passing through this valley of Baca. That valley of Baca, or that word Baca there, meaning of that word is weeping. You could say those that are passing through or who passing through this valley of weeping. The valley of Baca or the valley of weeping, it's a place that many tonight, if we had our choice, if we really could choose, we would not want to pass through a valley of weeping or a valley of Baca. That would not be a desire of ours. I don't know of too many people that wish and pray for trials. I don't know too many people that say, I want to pass through a valley. I want to pass through an area of hurt and pain in my life. Most people, that's not something they wish for. You see, in this valley, though, there's many tears that are shed, and there's much pain that's experienced in this valley. And this is the reason why most of us don't want to go through a valley. We don't want to go through tears, and we don't want to go through pain. Many burdens are carried in the valley of Baca, in the valley of weeping. The valley is not a place any of us desire to go through. I want us to just take in these verses that we read here this evening and just dissect a few of them here tonight, and I hope and I pray be an encouragement to you. I'm so glad that God takes the weeping and takes the tears and takes the pain, the weeping that causes us so much pain, the tears that we shed while we're in this valley. He takes these and he makes a well out of them, brings water into a place that's barren or dry. Do you ever cry so much or weep so much you can't even weep any longer? You ever been there? To lose someone you love or find news that you didn't want to receive and it causes you to weep? Do you ever weep and say to yourself, I don't know if I could cry anymore. I've cried so much. I've wept so much. Do you ever weep at a place where you think to yourself, I can't believe the human body can weep as much as I've wept? You might then understand the Valley of Baca, Valley of Weeping. God, though, as he allows us to go through these places, as God allows us to go through these trials in our life, he doesn't leave us there on our own. One of the comforts that we can have, and we'll see that here in just a few moments tonight, even though we're at a place of tears or at a place of weeping or at a place that we don't understand or we don't know why God would allow, we do know this, that God does not leave us there by ourselves. He's with us. Tears aren't wasted. God uses our trials and God uses our burdens and God uses our weeping and God uses our tears. God can use those things for his glory and his honor in our lives. There's a purpose for those things in our life. At times when we're there in the process or in the valley, we don't always understand the purpose, but we do know this, that God has a purpose and a plan for our life, and we can trust him in these times. You know what I realize in a valley of a barren place, nothing grows where there is no water. Nothing grows. If you were to take seeds and you were to take dirt and you did take, put all those together and you put it together, you have to have water. Is that right? You have to have water in order for things to grow. Things grow once they're watered. Nothing matures in a valley without water. Nothing matures in a dry, desolate place unless there's water to come to those areas. You know, I believe it's true in our lives as well. It takes at times us passing through a valley, passing through a trial, passing through an area in our life that we wouldn't choose, we wouldn't want, we wouldn't desire, but we can come to a place where God allow us to go through these valleys. I want to give you just a few thoughts here. I hope that'll encourage you tonight. I hope it'll encourage you to, maybe there's some that are going through valleys, maybe there's some that are going through hurt. If you're not, the reality is this, probably you know somebody that is. If you're not going through a valley of weeping or a valley of tears, you probably know somebody that is going through a battle or a season in the valley. There's areas in our lives that God is working on and we must mature and we must go through these valleys at times so that we could see God greater. I want to show you number one. I want you to look with me in verse number 9. The Bible says this, the psalmist is writing, he says in verse 6, who passing through this valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pool. And he comes to verse number 9. He says this, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. I want us to see this evening, and we come through these areas in our life, this valley, these weeping, this valley of tears, this dry, desolate place. We come to a place of a valley. We learn in verse number 9, we learn something about God that's very important for us to learn. What we find here is the psalmist says this, we learn that he is our defense when we're going through these valleys. You know, we understand that we're hopeless. Do you ever get to a place in life where you just feel hopeless? I don't mean you maybe feel like giving up. You just feel maybe a better word would be helpless. You just don't understand. You're at a place and you don't know what to do next. Have you ever been there? You're at a point in your life, and maybe it's news that you get, or news that somebody you love gets, or a situation that happens in your life, and you just feel helpless. The reality is this, none of us like to come to a place where we feel helpless in life. I like to have answers, and for me, I like to know what the next step is. I like to get it figured out. Matter of fact, there's most of the time I want to know what the step is before even the next step is. I want to know where we're going and how we're going to get there, and I want to be a few steps ahead. But there's reality is this, there's many a times in our life that we come to a place where we are helpless. We're not able to defend ourselves. We're not able to come up with an answer. We're not able to figure it out. We could come to a valley in our lives, and we grow very weary, and we reach a breaking point where we just feel overwhelmed. Anyone in this room ever feel overwhelmed? You just feel like it's tough just to breathe. You ever feel that way? The reality is there's a lot of people that go through life, and good people, godly people, Christian people that go through life, and at times they find themselves in a place like this, a place where they feel overwhelmed. You see, it's in the valley that we're humbled. At times, God takes us to a valley place in our life so that we see Him for greater. We see Him as our defense. We see Him as the one that we need. My dad, when we were young, moved to Philadelphia to start a church there, and he moved us. He moved us right down in the Badlands, they called it. We went from Michigan at the time. He started a church there and went from Michigan, and he moved us to Philadelphia, Michigan. We lived and couldn't really see the neighbor that was next to you. We lived a little bit far away. And he moved us to a city in row homes, and there were like, you know, 150 houses on one block. And I'll tell you, my brother and my sister and I, we were scared to death. There were two gangs. There were two gangs in our house, by our house. A Street was a couple streets this way, and Lee Street is what we lived on, but there was up on Lee and Water, there was the Lee Street gang, and there was the A Street posse. These were real gangs. And we just moved there, and you know, we weren't a member of either. We weren't allowed. But the problem was this, we had to get through this area either to get to the church or the school. And a lot of times, my dad, we just had one vehicle. My dad would drive, and if we didn't go with him, we'd have to walk. Now, it wasn't very far, but you had to either pass the A Street posse or the Lee Street gang. I'll never forget, my brother and I, we didn't get out on time, and my dad, my sister, my mom left for church, and we were just going to walk, and we were walking together, and wouldn't you know it, we saw a bunch of kids on one corner, so we said, we're going to take the other way, and we went the other way, and both gangs were out that night, and it was on. I mean, we were running through alleys, and it was a bad night for my brother and I. More for him, because I could run faster than him. It was a better night for me, not a good night for him. And I'll never forget going to where my dad was at the church there, and running inside of that church, and I just couldn't wait. My brother and I just couldn't wait to get to my dad, because we knew this, if we could get to him, everything would be okay. He was our defense. You know, there's times in our life that there's situations we get into where we just need to get to the Heavenly Father because He is our defense. You know, God allows things at times in our life where we go through so we see Him greater. I always knew that my dad could protect me. I always knew that my dad was always there for me. But I tell you, when I really truly needed him the most, I learned something about him. He was always there. You know what I learned that the most? when there were situations in my life when I truly needed him. You know, there's times in our life that we might be going through this valley of Baca, this valley of weeping, this valley of tears, and it might seem like it just is a waste. We don't know why God would allow these things. It's in those seasons, it's in that valley, it's in those times of our life that we ought to learn something about God, that God is our defense. We may feel helpless. We may feel like we have no answers. We may feel like there is no solution to this situation, but we can come to a place where God defends us, and God is there to protect us. It's when we fear in our life and we worry. We come to a place at times and we come where we fear and we worry. It's a place where we realize we are not in control, but we can trust God in all of our situations. We find that God is our shield. We find that he is there to deliver us. We find at these times in our life that we can trust him at an even greater level than we knew before. I want you to see in verse number 10, the Bible goes on to say, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Verse number 10, we find this to be true. It's where we learn in the Valley of Baca here. It's where we learn where the safest place to be is in the will of God. The safest place for us to be is in the will of God. There was a family in our church in Georgia. When we went there, the first 2 years, there was over 20 babies born. I mean, we thought there was something in the water. We thought just something was wrong. It just seemed like family after family after family after family, babies were born. We remodeled the nursery because so many babies were being born in the church. And that's, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was just seeming constantly babies were born. There was a family in our church that no matter how many babies are born, the church would get excited, and we were expanding the nursery, and those little babies we'd bring up front, and we'd show the babies to the church, and everyone would smile, and everyone would laugh, and everyone would love to see that baby. But there was a family in our church, I'd look and they were never smiling. I looked and that family was never laughing. They were happy, but they couldn't have children. The mom, wife had leukemia when she was a teenage girl, and through some of the process of that and some of the medication and some other issues that surrounded that cancer, she was not able to have children. And every time somebody announced that they were going to have a child, or every time a child was born, or every time a baby first came to the church and the church made a big deal about a baby coming for the first time, I always look back and there was a family constantly hurting. We prayed for this family, and they came to me and they said, Pastor, we want to adopt. What do you think? That'd be a great thing. And I said, I think if God wants to give you a child that way, that's a wonderful thing. Let's pray. And we had the entire church praying, and they went through a Christian adoption agency, and it was such a sad thing. They thought they had a child, and right at the last minute, the moms changed their mind and said, no, I'm not going to give the baby up for adoption. And they were just devastated. It seemed like they didn't have enough money, and it just seemed like nothing was going to happen here. In the process, still more church families are having children, and the hurt just kept getting deeper. There was a couple that came into my office. I didn't know. They weren't members of our church. I wasn't sure what they needed, and they sat in my office one afternoon. They said, we're both Christians, and we just wanted to come to you. One of our parents recommended we come to you. We never wanted children. And for some reason, God is going to give us a child. And we don't believe in abortion. We're Christians. And I know how hard it is. You say, boy, that's a difficult decision to make of giving up your child. But they said, we want to give our daughter up, our child up to adoption once she's born. And they said, we just wanted to know, do you know a good Christian family that would adopt our daughter? And I didn't think twice. I said, I know the exact family. This family would be perfect. This family would love your child. This family would care for your child. And they said, well, we just have a few questions. If you would please ask them to answer these questions. And we just want to make sure this is the right fit. And then we'll spend some time praying, and we'll come back and give you an answer. And I gave that questionnaire to this family, and I felt so bad. I thought if I give this to the family and get their hopes up, and then this family changes their mind. And it was complicated. And they answered the questions. We gave them back. And they said, we'll let you know by Friday what our decision is, a couple Fridays later. And Friday came and went and heard nothing. I didn't have the heart to call this family and say, they didn't call. Saturday, the comes and goes and nothing. Saturday evening, the family sends me a text and just, have you heard anything? And I just text back, no, but we're praying. Sunday morning, they were there waiting at church and they stopped me in my office and they said, have you heard anything at all? I said, I haven't heard. She's weeping. And I know what they thought, we're getting her hopes up again. And during Sunday school and right before church, 10 minutes before church started, I got a call from this fella, and I recognized the number, so I answered the phone, even though we were getting ready to go into church, and he says, we've been praying, and we've looked this over, we've prayed, and we really believe this is the family that God wants us to raise our daughter and love our daughter and parent our daughter. And so if you'll just simply let them know, and I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to do is preach knowing that this family was going to receive the best news they've ever received as soon as church was over. I preached, and I remember they came down to my right, and they were praying, and just in tears. I said to this family afterwards, I went up to them, I said, can I see you? My wife and I want to see you in my office after church. And so we took them into the office, and they were just weeping, and I think they thought the bad news was coming. And I sat down, and I said, well, Mom and Dad, looks like you're going to have a baby girl. And boy, those weeping, those tears turned from sorrow to joy. They lived in this valley of Baca. They knew what tears felt like. But you know what you learn as this family that learned, and it was an awesome experience to see God working in this life and of this couple and this family. And what a wonderful thing it is when you see God working when you're at a place where you feel like it just can't get any worse. You feel like you're at a place of helplessness. And then you realize this, through this valley, you realize this, that the safest place to be is in God's will. It's not out there on your own trying to make decisions. It's not out there on your own trying to figure your problem out. It's not out there trying to come to a place where you can understand the safest place, Christian, is this, in the will of God. It's not running from God and trying to fix your problems using some worldly means. It's not running from the things of God. It's not running from the house of God. Here the psalmist, he says this, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, we can go to the world and find relief in times of sorrow. We can go to the world and try to fix our problems, and we can try to use worldly means to resolve our issues. But the best place you can be, Christian, in any trial, the best place you can be as you're going through a valley, the best place you can be, the safest place you can be, is right there in the will of God. That's the place we need to be. You see, in our valley, we need to learn that we need to stay in the place of God. In our valley, we need to learn that running from God isn't the best thing, but running to Him in our trial is what we need to see. We're safer at the front door of God's house than under the shelter of the world. And the psalmist learned this, I'm better just reaping the crumbs of what takes place inside God's house than sitting under the tent of the wickedness. I'm better just being where God wants me to be than try to figure out my problem on my own. We need to realize this in our trials. We're not to run from God, but rather run to God. Thirdly, I want you to see this before we pray this evening. Verse number 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thirdly, we realize this when we come through a valley of Baca. When we come through a place where we don't understand, we realize this, that He is our supplier. He supplies every need. I want you to see something in this verse. The Lord says, for the Lord is a sun. You know, when we come to this verse, we can rejoice to see something here. What our trials do is it causes us to grow and mature. And we need as Christians to grow. We need as Christians to mature. We need as Christians to see God in a greater light. And at times, it takes for us to go through these valleys. It takes for us to go through these trials. It takes for us to go through the valley of Baca before we can see God for greater than we've seen Him before. You see, you plant seeds and you give them water. But you know what? There's one thing you can give tears and you can form a well, but you know what you need in order for growth to happen in your life? You also need sun. You know, if you took those seeds and you took that soil and you put it into a dark room, you put it together, you wouldn't get anything, would you? But you take that seed and you take that soil, you take that water and you put it together and you allow God to be the sun. You see growth. You see son, the son is needed for growth. What I can't give is a son. I can give tears and I can give my problems and I can give tears to this situation, but what I can't give is the son. But what God says is, I am the son. You know what we find here? He's the supplier. Whatever you need in your trial, God can supply. Whatever you need when what you're going through, God can deliver. Whatever the need is, whatever you think that you can't do, God shows you that he can. You ever get to a place in life where you're helpless, you say, I know what the need is, but I just can't meet that need. And that's when God says, you know, if you allow me, I'll show you that I can supply. Every need you have, child of God, God can meet. Every care you have, he cares for you. Every care you have, he can carry you. He can love you. He can supply that need. He is the supplier in any situation in your life. You might not have what you need, but God says through the psalmist in verse number 11, I am the sun and shield. You see, God allows us to go through valleys, and he takes those tears and he makes them a well. He takes that sun and he causes growth in our life. You see, at times God allows us to go through these areas so that he can show us something about him that we'd never learn any other way. Nobody in this room wants to go through a trial. Nobody in this room wants to go through a valley of Baca. Nobody in this room wants to go through weeping nights and tearful nights. But you know what we find in Psalm 84? What we find is this, when we do, there's things that we learn about God that we would never know any other way. We'd never know. You see, Christian, maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through a hurt. Maybe you're going through a valley in your life. Maybe someone you love is. I think of families like Janice. Michelle and I were at the hospital on Monday evening, and Pastor Yazel is there comforting the family. And boy, when somebody's grieving, you don't even know what to say at times. You find people in a church that have cancer, and you don't know what to say. You find people that are hurting and struggling and going through seasons in life, and it's hard to watch. But God allows us to go through seasons like this, through valleys like this, so that we see him. He's our defense. When we feel helpless, he defends. When you feel like you need a supplier, that you can't survive another day, we need to know from God's word. The psalmist says this, he is the son. He supplies exactly what I need. There's nothing that I need in life that God cannot supply. So maybe this evening you know someone that's going through this valley, or you know it's your family, it's someone you love, it's you. Pray this evening you'd find that God is your defense and that God is your supplier. And don't run from God in this trial. Run to him and learn something about him this evening.